Energy with naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise. We have learned from Einstein's theories that matter and energy are one. Physicists believe that all systems in nature have their own particular way of vibrating. From the swing of a pendulum to the waves in the ocean to the light that brightens the sky each day, each of these oscillates at its own unique rate. In the same way, things such as rocks and minerals vibrate very slowly and at speeds that are imperceptible to us. Living things such as plants, animals, and man vibrate faster and appear to be alive. The same holds true for every thought, feeling, event, or word we speak. Each has its own frequency or rate of vibration. What many of us don't realize is if we take everything in our own universe down to its simplest form, it is all just energy. Join Dr. Rita as she explores questions such as, what are we made of? Why do we get sick? How can I live a more balanced and whole life? Call in and talk to her and her thought-provoking guests. Send us your questions and get the help you need to move beyond any obstacles or challenges that may be affecting your life, right from the source. So stay tuned and explore your possibilities.
Welcome to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and thank you all for tuning in this evening. Many of the people I've helped over the years were listeners just like you. If you're at a junction in your life, don't stand alone at this important time. Call me or send me an email, and we can set up a private consultation so that you too can experience health, healing, and wholeness in your life. To find out more about the services I offer, visit my main website at www.soulhealer.com. And for those of you listening to the show as a podcast, remember, you can listen live every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at justenergyradio.com. But remember, starting July 24th, Just Energy Radio is moving to its new time slot. We will be airing live from 2 to 4 p.m. every Friday night or Friday afternoon. Afternoon at 2 to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, starting on July 24th. So, we have a fun show tonight. Well, actually, it's kind of a serious show, but we'll always have fun here, so it'll be fun. Back on the show are good friends of mine, Barry and Janae Weinhold. They have a brand new book out, and their other books were just so wonderful that when they let me know they had a new book, I was like, yeah, you're coming back on the show. This book is called Conflict Resolution. So let me tell you a little bit about Barry and Janae, and we'll get them on the air, and we will get finding out how to resolve conflicts. Okay, Dr. Barry Weinhold is licensed as a psychologist, and Dr. Janae Weinhold is a professional counselor. Co-founders of the Carolina Institute for Conflict Resolution and Creative Leadership, they specialize in the areas of developmental psychology, trauma, violence prevention, conflict resolution, cosmologies, and consciousness studies. They are the authors or co-authors of 31 books. From Weinhold.org, Barry and Janae Weinhold. Hi, Barry and Janae. How are you this evening?
Fine, Rita. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm just so excited to have you back on the show and to hear about your brand new book.
Well, we're excited to talk about it.
So actually, the full title of the book is Conflict Resolution, The Partnership Way, correct?
Right.
And so I would assume that part of the resolution is to create a partnership as opposed to a one person wins over the other person as a means of resolution.
Well, that's one level of being partners, which is that you find a new way to resolve it, because it's beyond win-win what we're looking at. What we see and what we've experienced in the model that we've created is that when people really go deeper into the conflict in an effort to resolve it, those people are transformed. And that transformation is more than just, well, I'll compromise and you'll compromise. So it's much more of a spiritual experience.
And so, and just for the people that obviously haven't read the book yet, we're talking more about conflicts between two people as opposed to internal conflicts?
Yeah, I think, well, we also address that as well, because I think a lot of internal conflicts get projected outward into relationships. So mm-hmm. if people can't resolve something inside, they often will try to resolve it in their relationships, and they don't know that they're resolving something inside.
Oh, because they just end up projecting it on somebody
else.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Or they're just not clear. You know, sometimes there's that kind of feeling of being muddled and something's wrong. You don't know quite what's wrong. And so the way that you know what the muddle is about is it appears in a conflict with another person. And then if people are really aware enough, they're like, oh, that's just a reflection of this muddleness that I have inside, because I can see this, but I can see that, but I haven't been able to find clarity about it.
And we see that a couple or two people who come together, they kind of create an energy field between them. And in that field, then things will occur, conflicts will occur. And we see conflicts as opportunities, because when you have an energy field created, then you make space for whatever is going to show up in that energy field that will advance and deepen the relationship. And so conflict is one of those things that helps deepen the relationship. And we've used it ourselves. I mean, in fact, we wrote this book based on our own experiences. We've been through, we've been studying conflict now since 1986, and had our own institute started then in 1987. And so it's been a journey of understanding the true meaning of conflict in relationships.
But I thought you guys were perfect.
Well, no.
Well, you mean, if you think that being perfect means that there's no conflict, then no, we're not perfect. That we're really, what we look at is the perfection in everything. So it's like whatever comes, we try to embrace it rather than saying, well, gee, I guess this is another failed relationship and we got all this information, but, you know, we still have all these problems. And so, as Barry said, we turn whatever the problems or the issues are into opportunities. And if we're really willing to explore whatever the conflict is about, we find out a lot about ourselves. And we also find out a lot about the other person, because we have this need to discover more about what's causing all this and looking at what's right about it, taking the judgments away. So in all of that, we have found continually that it's all in divine order.
But that's only if you're willing to actually look at your own stuff and look at the role that you're playing in the conflict in general, as opposed to blaming it all on the other person, which is much easier.
Well, that's
for sure.
That's a path of suffering, Rita. And it's like, well, okay, so looking at all these conflicts is not fun. Yes, it brings up feelings, and yes, it stirs up, you know, old stuff that we didn't really want to think about anymore. So what's the alternative? Just to sit and suffer in it?
I think in today's day and age, most people, if the conflict becomes too much, they just get up and go.
Well, that's because they don't have any skills to deal with the conflict. I mean, where do we teach people how to deal with conflict? I mean, they learn probably some and probably the wrong ways when they're growing up and they see what's going on in their families and how conflicts are resolved there, but where else would they learn how to resolve conflicts? When we speak to groups, we'll often ask people, how many of you have seen a conflict resolved where both people felt like they got their needs met, or that they felt like they were there, whatever their part of the conflict was respected? Let's see a show of hands. We get about 10% of adults, and these are not just any adults, these are often people who are very educated. So it's still a rarity in our culture where people have the skills to resolve the kind of conflicts that show up in their relationships. So what can they do? Well, they run. They don't know what else to do.
And so what kinds of things do these, you know, create the conflict? If you take it really down to a base level, what kind of things do you find that fit underneath most conflicts, I guess would be the way I want to say it?
Well, we dug a lot before we finally figured it out, because we kept saying, this is it, no, this is not it. And what we came to is that people actually are hitting old layers of trauma. And when people have trauma that's not been cleared, not even thought about, it has a lot of power in our unconscious. And there's several things that happen whenever we are in the midst of remembering or re-experiencing an old trauma. The first is something that Freud called the repetition compulsion. And the repetition compulsion is sort of a variation on traumatic reenactment. What do we do with trauma? We replay it. We get into it. It's sort of like having the videotape stuck on the, you know, one screen, like the pause button, and we just see this thing cycle over and over and over and over again. And that's really what we found that's underneath intractable conflict, is that people are replaying scenes or memories or feelings or relationship dynamics from usually very early in life, and they don't even know it.
Hmm. And so I would assume that those are parts of them that have been invalidated, or where their wants and needs hadn't been met, and they're looking now to either have those wants or needs met, or they don't know how to have them met, or
that's
something
right.
to that
I mean,
effect?
Mm-hmm. It's like everyone has sort of this secret desire when they find the person that they want to be in relationship with, the person they love, that somehow this person is going to be different from the people that they grew up with. This person is, because they love us so much and because they really are tuned into us so much, that they won't do the same things that the people who we grew up with did to us. And so there's this kind of almost like a primal trust in our partner. And then somewhere along the way, a partner does something that doesn't fit that picture. And they feel betrayed. They feel like, my goodness, this person isn't the person I thought they were. They're somebody different. Well, that was only because we had sort of a dream about what they were, and it wasn't real. Now it's real, and so we have to deal with it. Now, frequently, we've had to deal with couples who we were the last step on the way down to sign the divorce papers. Somebody said, why don't you see Barry and Janae and see what they can do. And they said, oh, well, okay, we'll try it. And so people come and they tell us the story about how when they first got together, everything was so wonderful and they didn't have any conflicts. And now all they do is fight all the time. And our first response usually to people like that is, well, congratulations. And they kind of look at us strangely, but what we explain is that this means that the relationship has not gotten safe enough for these issues to show up, and what you don't know what to do is how to deal with them. You don't have the skills. So we can teach you some skills if that's something you're interested in and see if they work, and if they do, maybe we can help you recover that kind of sense you had at the beginning of your relationship.
And then the relationship grows and evolves, and the individuals grow and evolve.
Exactly.
And other, they grow and evolve on a personal level, but in my experience is once you start clearing that stuff out, your own personal stuff out, it fans out into all of your relationships.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we've seen.
Yeah.
One of the most interesting things that we discovered when we were studying trauma is that there's kind of two very early kinds of trauma. The first kind of trauma is very common in the first year of life, and it's about separation trauma, or it's about bonding trauma. And then there's a second kind of trauma that happens between about a year and 3 years, and that's when the child's going through the separation stage. And so we can see these two kinds of trauma play out in couple relationships really easy, because trauma during the first year of life usually sets it up so people have a lot of issues around codependency. So they tend to be the partner in a relationship that does the pursuing, they want to be close, you know, and it's all about, you know, kind of being sucked to the partner, the other person. And that kind of trauma is usually the result of having a rather distant mother who wasn't very emotionally available, maybe wasn't very attentive to meeting the child's needs, and tend to kind of push the child away or maybe get the child to grow up faster. That wasn't, you know, a mom that did enjoyed a lot of snuggling. And so it leaves the child, you know, creates an adult pattern of relationship where they're always pursuing, wanting more, not feeling like they can get enough, and being sort of dissatisfied with whatever their partner has to give. And then that person usually ends up with the other kind, with the person who has the other kind of trauma, which is around separation.
And frequently, that kind of person was invaded and was basically maybe even not allowed to grow in natural ways towards more independence and separation. So that person, that when the person with codependent behavior starts to come closer and want more and more, they start to feel invaded again, like they did when they were a child, and they start pushing them away and begin to understand in that process they're not getting their needs met. So frequently, and in the whole partnership way, we try to get people to the point where they are stopping, they stop the blame game. And they begin to then look at each other as wounded children who didn't get needs met and are now coming to this relationship with those deficits, and looking at ways that that they can help each other and cooperate with each other instead of competing with each other, as in most of the other kind of relationships of, if I get my needs met, you won't get your needs met, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And what that does is it sets up this dynamic where you have one person who's more on the codependent side versus the person who's more counterdependent, and they do this little game where one pursues the other one, and then when the pursuer gets tired of not getting what they want, they flip into being the person who's more counterdependent, and the person who was counterdependent flips into being codependent. And so we see this little dance going back and forth. It's co-counter, co-counter, co-counter. And it becomes, you know, after a while, a very unsatisfying kind of relationship pattern. But there's also a lot of drama in it. And so this, if you're around people who play this out, it's like you get really tired of hearing the same old stories about, you know, who's available and who's not available. And there's a lot of, like, victim consciousness and all that. So what we really looked at is how you break this through this cycle of this dynamic that keeps people trapped in something that's really not satisfying to either person.
So are there different kinds of skills people need to resolve different kinds of conflicts? Are there different kinds of conflicts that people have?
Sure. We kind of looked at three layers of conflict in our book. And the first layer is conflicts of wants and needs, which are actually the easiest to resolve. And it's basically helping people learn the skill of asking for what they want and need directly from somebody else, and then negotiating to get that. And so we have a whole process that we walk people through to get their needs met if they have a conflict of wants and needs.
One of the most interesting things that we discovered when we were working on this part of our model is helping people understand that when they negotiate with someone about the different kinds of no, because we found that when people get into the negotiation process and they ask their partner for something and the partner says no, they just sort of like collapse. They fold their tent and, you know, kind of go into depression. And we're like, well, wait a minute. So what kind of no was that? Was that like no never? Or was that like no, not right now, but maybe later? Or was that, well, no, but I'll think about it? Or, no, ask me again in 15 minutes.
So that's how people, we work people through their conflicts of wants and needs. And then the second level, which is actually much more pervasive in many ways. There's conflicts of values and beliefs. And this is what really literally it makes the world go around. I mean, there are conflicts of values, religious values, ethnic values, all over the place that are causing wars and conflicts of that nature. But they also occur in relationships when, you know, somebody has a certain value about some idea or something about themselves or other people. And then
sometimes it's just a value of cleanliness, you
yeah,
know, something really simple about, you know, I don't like to brush my teeth in the sink, you know, when somebody didn't wash their toothpaste out.
Yeah, so it's a value issue, and how you tell the difference usually is that in wants and needs, there's often some kind of tangible effect of the other person's behavior has on you. But when you get into values and beliefs, sometimes it's hard to come up with a tangible effect. It just is, you just don't like it, you know. And so that's where you start to look at it as a more of a values and belief conflict. And in those cases, we say, okay, you need to begin a dialogue with your partner. And that's a different set of skills where you're beginning to understand your partner better and understand the values that they bring to this relationship and learn how to respect those and not to try to change them. And when there's understanding in a relationship about the differences, often common ground can be then found to resolve it. But you have to start with not trying to change the other person, but understand them through dialogue. So that's the second set of skills that people have to learn. And that involves a lot of listening and reflecting back to the other person what you think you heard them say, and then checking it out to make sure that was what they really meant, and until you find some kind of level of respect and understanding for each other.
One of the most interesting things that we found while we were working with resolving conflicts of values and beliefs is that most of these values and beliefs were formed very early in life, like maybe even before the age of 10. So for most people, what they believe and value has been with them so long that it's not possible to use logic to talk it out of them. And often these very early experiences had some element of trauma, or there was some kind of an intensity emotionally. And so when you talk with people, they often get real emotional about their values. We've had, in our classes and workshops, we've had people do a dialogue about some kind of, oh, really hot topic. I can't tell you how many we've done on abortion, but we've done them on all different kinds of issues.
Corporal punishment.
Yeah. And we just listen to people talk about, well, you know, what were the underlying experiences that helped you create this value or this belief, and it's all kinds of really intense experiences, usually inside the family or sometimes at school. And after this happened and it was so much like larger than life for the person, they swore, you know, I'll never do this again, or I'll always do this, or that'll never happen to me kind of thing. And so to try and use logic to persuade people that, you know, their value or their belief is wrong is very unrealistic.
Mm-hmm. And then the third level of conflict is what we call intractable conflicts. And those are conflicts that keep recycling over and over again. Maybe they take a different form, but they don't ever get resolved. I can think of an example that we had in our relationship when we first got together. Janae didn't know that I was a closet jock.
It shocked me to know, Ian. I thought I married a professor, and he turned out to be a sports nut. Also.
Well, we need to take a quick break, so why don't we come back to that story after the break? We're talking to Barry and Janae Weinhold about their new book, Conflict Resolution and the Partnership Way, and we will be back after these words from our sponsor.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Ree Louise, will return right after these messages.
Are you sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, and Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle body, as well as techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy, contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Visit www.appliedenergeticsinstitute.com and start your new career today. Hey, it's Dr. Rita Louise. Don't forget to sign up for our free online newsletter at justenergyradio.com. It'll keep you informed of who's coming on the show each week. And don't forget, explore your possibilities every Friday night. Don't miss a single episode of Just Energy Radio. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Are you feeling stuck and unsure which way to turn on your path? Do you lack focus and direction in life? Do you feel something is missing? So what do you want? A better job, your dream home, more money, your ideal mate? Decora has practical tools to assist you. Schedule a session today to get clear about what you truly desire to deliberately create the life you want. For more information, visit ManifestingConsultant.com or call toll-free 1-800-813-3877.
Go deep inside yourself and venture into the realm of the unconscious mind with my Meditating on the Kabbalah guided imagery audio CDs. Discover who you are and what you want in life. Meditating on the Kabbalah can help you to open, clear, and revitalize the energetic pathways of your subtle being. They will support you in your spiritual quest by helping you to access the profound insight and inner guidance you need as you work in alignment with your highest good. Let them help you to release negative thoughts and emotions and clear away any limitations that may be keeping you from experiencing your full potential. Walk down the path to health, healing, understanding, and enlightenment with Meditating on the Kabbalah. Order your copy today at www.soulhealer.com. That's right, that's www.soulhealer.com.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise, and we're here talking to Barry and Tanae Weinhold about their new book, Conflict Resolution, The Partnership Way. So, Barry, before the break, Danae was telling the story about how you were a closet secret jock.
Yeah, I think Janae can tell her part about it because it was kind of a surprise to her when she found out that I liked football and I liked to watch football on television, and she didn't know that about me when we first got together. I think the football team that I normally watch was having a bad year, so I didn't watch it very much when we first got together. Then when they started to get good, I watched them more often.
So we had, it's been interesting, this conflict, it's about TV time and sports, and so it had a phase where it was a conflict of wants and needs, and then we thought we resolved it, but then it came back and we discovered there was a part of it that was a lot about values and beliefs, and then it still didn't go away, even though we thought we had resolved it at that level, and so when we got into the intractable stage, we found there was a lot of deeper stuff that was underneath it. So this is, you know, kind of our own personal laboratory, which is where we've tested everything and also done a lot of learning about, you know, the different components of it. So in this conflict of wants and needs, it started out as we were building a house and we were living in a small apartment. And it had this nice open floor plan. Well, when you got the TV on, you can hear it all over the house. So we were trying to figure out how could I study and work on my doctorate degree when he was watching TV. So we went several rounds of trying to figure out how to make it so that we could both exist in the same space. And finally, Barry got a set of earphones where he could turn the TV off and he could watch it without there being any noise. So the only thing I heard was when his team was doing well and he was hooping and hollering. So then eventually we got through the degree, and maybe it was some period of time, but I could see how much time he was spending on sports, and I couldn't figure out why he was such a sports nut. I mean, it didn't seem like it fit with kind of his interests as an adult, that he would kind of go back and absorb himself in all these things. And so we did a lot of dialogue, and in the dialogue, I really came to understand why sports was important. It wasn't about performance and excelling. It was about things I never dreamed that were inside of him.
Yeah, when we did some dialogue and she was asking me a lot about why sports were important to me, I began to recall that in junior high school, I was bullied a lot by older students. I was pretty small when I was in junior high. I grew 10 inches in 1 year between 9th and 10th grade. So I noticed that the only people in my school who didn't get bullied were the athletes. So I had this striving to become an athlete and to become a member of a sports team. And finally I did. I made the basketball team in my sophomore year, I believe it was, and then also the baseball team. And I no longer got bullied. And I was one of the gang and felt very much a part of a group of a team of people. And so it really was a big turning point in my adolescent life to have sports and be good enough to be on the team and to be part of that. So when I thought about all that, I thought, well, gee, that's where all this intense interest in sports came from, was out of my own kind of needs and maybe the values that I formed about the importance of being on a team and belonging.
But you also wanted to be a good athlete, so there's a certain performance. And
there was, I worked hard to be, I wasn't a natural athlete, so I had to work at it. I had to practice a lot in order to, to be a good athlete. And so there's a lot of that in it as well for me.
So it was quite revealing, because here I thought, I had this man who I really understood as to be in, someone from academia, and then I find that he's just a plain Joe like everybody else and likes sports, and he had this whole kind of outdoors part to him that I didn't realize was there. So that's when, after we went through that level of kind of understanding each other and going deeper into it, I was like, wow, well, that was really good, because without that conflict, I wouldn't really understand where all that comes from, and I probably wouldn't have the acceptance of it that I, can feel now, because it was like, well, I could appreciate more of, kind of who showed up in the relationship with me. So that kind of calmed things down for a while, and then there was still something that didn't go away, and I could feel this kind of gnawing inside me, and I would get irritated with Barry, and he has an amazing ability to focus. I mean, he can tighten his attention down to a little pinpoint laser, and when he has that laser tightened in, that's all he's seeing, and he is watching the intricacies of some game on TV, and so I can go up to him and say something, and he doesn't hear me. I don't think he even would see me, and so I was feeling like I was shut out of the sports thing, and anytime the TV was on, I may as well not even be in the house. So that started to affect me after a while, and when he was watching TV, he would have this kind of stare on his face.
Focus.
Yeah, this intense focus, just looked like he was staring, and I kept having a reaction to the look on his face and his inability to see me or hear me, and sometimes I'd go up and say, well, I spent $1,000 at the store today shopping, and just to see if he was listening, because he seemed like he was so tuned out. And finally, what I found was something very interesting, because it was the look on his face, and it was that kind of distant look in his eyes that was setting me off. And finally, I connected the dots, and I was like, oh, that's what my mother used to do. She was a always had that far-off stare in her eyes, like her body was here, but her mind and her attention were somewhere else. And I think I grew up with that kind of experience as a child, and I felt alone a lot, even though my mother was close. So I was able to talk with Barry and say, oh, now I know what this is. This is a whole piece of my experience and my relationship with my mother.
And that helped me to understand why she was upset when I was watching TV, and I could not understand why she would get so upset at me when I was, you know, sitting here doing something I enjoyed doing.
Because you're not supposed to do that. So,
well, if you hadn't done it, though, Rita, I would never have gotten to that piece of my, you know, understanding how alone I felt, even though my mom was present.
So, what again is it reflects the whole idea of a partnership relationship. Everything that happens is right. There's some reason why it's happening. We just don't understand why it's happening. And once we understand it, we can see the beauty of it and the why it could help us if we understood it and were able to utilize it effectively, could deepen and our relationship and bring us closer together.
So that was really how we came up with this whole idea about partnership, because in most conflict situations, the person that you have in the conflict with is bad. You know, they've done something terrible, and you just want them to go away, or you want to beat them up or yell at them or do something. And what we found is that if we're willing to not push the other person away, but to stay engaged and to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the conflict, that the person we're in conflict with actually becomes our partner, because they show us parts of themselves that we don't know, haven't seen, or they show we can see parts of ourselves in that we haven't seen either. And so out of that, we began to kind of embrace whatever it was that happened as something that was bringing us closer.
And also in that example that we gave, I mean, there was I had a piece of that too, which I had to look at and work with. And that was the fact that when I was sitting there innocently watching TV and she was criticizing me, it was like my mother, who would criticize me often when I was growing up for something that I didn't even know why she was criticizing me. When things weren't going well for her, she would find somebody in the family, usually the person who was around and closest to her, to criticize, and that made her feel better. So that surfaced that old trauma that I had resolved about how to deal with somebody who's criticizing you when you're not doing anything that deserves it. So it really was a wonderful kind of way that we were able to come to these kind of healings and understandings with ourselves and with each other. And so frequently in conflicts like that, I would ask Janae, how old are you feeling right now? And she would tell me, I'm feeling like a six-year-old. And I'm saying, well, you know, I'm feeling probably like a three-year-old. And so we would then negotiate about whose needs would come first. But often if the younger of the two, whoever was feeling youngest, got to go first. But there was always an agreement that if I got to work on my piece of it, then she would get to work on her piece after that, or I would, vice versa. So it was like a cooperative kind of way to use whatever conflict that was coming up to not only deepen our relationship, but also deepen our understanding of who we are as individuals.
So what if a conflict can't be resolved? And maybe a more correct way of saying this is, what if one of the parties or both of the parties aren't willing to come to some kind of resolution?
That's probably one of the most common questions that we've had from people, because I think, sorry, I croaked out there. It's very common for one half of the conflict, one person, to pull away and say, you know, I don't want to talk about this ever again. And it's very frustrating. So we kind of looked at two reasons why people don't resolve conflicts. One is there are some people actually that you choose not to resolve a conflict with because no matter what you do, they're going to win. They are dominating and are narcissistic. They're people who have to always be right. And we talk about these people as freight trains. And so if you've, you know, gotten into it with someone several times and you realize that the experience is like running into a freight train, then eventually you choose to get off of the track and you just don't engage with them. However, there is a need, especially if this happens, you know, two or three or four times, to look at why am I attracting freight trains into my life?
What's unfinished about all this that's coming up? And we typically look at that and help couples look at that. If whatever's happening in your relationship, again, it's right, and it means that there's something that's unfinished and it is trying to get your attention.
So that's one reason why people don't resolve conflicts, is that you can actually choose not to engage the other person, but then just to work on the conflict inside. And then the other part, so that one is that you don't resolve it because you get run over. The other reason is because the other party withdraws. And so you're just sitting there left with a lot of feelings and a lot of questions, and you really don't know what to do about it. So what we've done is come up with some questions that people can use to do this kind of inner work, like, okay, so what was the first time I remember feeling like this? How old was I? Who was the person I was involved in the conflict with? What wasn't finished? What emotions were I feeling? And what did I need? And so people can work on their half of it. And that can be very productive. It's not quite as good as to get the other person to do it, you know, in a cooperative way. But at least you can use the conflict as an opportunity to work on yourself and to grow, even if the other person chooses not to do that.
And we say that if you don't do that, like if you have somebody who's withdrawing from you and won't engage you in the conflict, and you don't work on yourself, then you're likely to attract somebody like that again.
And again.
And again. So it's actually enlightened self-interest to be willing to look at yourself and look at what's unfinished about this for you, rather than to blame the other person for not being willing to resolve it with you.
So what about people, because I've had this experience, people that, quote-unquote, resolve the conflict, and you think you come to a resolution, but then they renege everything that you resolve to.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that in our process of resolving conflicts, whatever you end up with is an agreement that you have to then test out to see if it's really going to work.
All right, we need to take another break. I'm Dr. Rita Louise. We're talking to Barry and Janae Weinhold about their new book, Conflict Resolution, The Partnership Way. Their website is www.weinhold.org, and we will be back after these messages.
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages.
And discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rita Louise, the host of Just Energy Radio and the founder of the Institute of Applied Energetics. Start a new career today on the leading edge of alternative health and healing. The Institute of Applied Energetics can help you develop the specialized skills you need to work as an energy medicine practitioner, intuitive counselor, or professional medical intuitive. Besides our outstanding technical instruction, our programs also support you in creating and building a successful business in this world. rapidly growing field. Be a catalyst for changing the way healthcare is done around the world. Contact the Institute of Applied Energetics right away or visit AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com. You can get a copy of Dr. Rita's latest book, Avoiding the Cosmic 2x4, by visiting www.soulhealer.com. Get your copy today.
Just Energy Radio wants to help you grow your business. Just Energy Radio has a growing global audience which can provide you with an unequaled opportunity to educate thousands of people about the products and services you have to offer. Through our targeted market, your ad is more likely to connect with like-minded individuals who will respond to your message. In addition, our archiving feature will allow your ad to be heard over and over again. Join the internet marketing revolution and take advantage of our low introductory prices. Visit JustEnergyRadio.com for more information.
The crossroads in your life and discover alternative solutions to your deepest concerns at soulhealer.com. So whether it's a physical problem, an emotional issue, a question about work, or troubles in your relationship, naturopath and medical intuitive Dr. Rita Louise can help you. Bring peace, harmony, and health back into your life. Schedule a session today. Visit soulhealer.com right away and live the life you've been dreaming of.
And now back to Just Energy Radio with Dr. Rita Louise.
Hello and welcome back to Just Energy Radio. I'm Dr. Rita Louise and we're talking to Barry and Janae Weinhold about their new book, Conflict Resolution, The Partnership Way. So we're kind of running out of time. We're ending, and it just seems like we started.
I know.
What about the resolution? So let's say you're in a relationship that there is conflict. You know, what are some things people can do? What would be a good first step for people to use to start resolving conflict in their relationships?
Well, the first thing is to look at what is your own personal style of resolving conflicts. When you're in a conflict, what do you typically do? And most of the time, people typically do one of three things. They either withdraw from the conflict, and or they just simply, when they're in a conflict, they almost like become immobilized and can't even think clearly, or they start fighting with the other person. So it's a fight, flight, or freeze response, which is all of them are adrenal stress responses to conflict, because conflict brings up that kind of fear that in us that somehow this other person is going to harm us in that some way, and sometimes that fear is even exaggerated, and we start to feel symptoms of, you know, our sweaty palms and the stomach starts to turn over, and we get headaches, and, you know, our voice starts to crack, and all these kind of physical symptoms. So that's when you first start to notice that you're in a conflict. Actually, we ask people, well, how do you know you're in a conflict? Well, the first thing you notice is what's happening inside of you, and then what do you do about that? And those are all those three styles that I talked about are styles that we call win-lose styles. They don't really work in the long run. And so the first thing is to, first of all, take a self journey about what do I typically do when I'm in a conflict, and then how can I change that? How can I do something different? And then that means learning some skills. And our book is filled with exercise after exercise that people can use to learn some skills about how to resolve conflicts.
And there are a lot of books about conflict resolution. So what makes your book different or more unique in that whole genre? You know, what makes your approach different?
A couple of things. One of them is that the partnership way, I think, is a unique contribution to the field to look at conflict much more like an opportunity than some kind of contest that has to be won or lost. And then the second thing is that and I'll let Janae talk about the fact that we really have looked at conflict in all systems, not just in individuals or couples.
And what we see is that if an individual has unresolved trauma from the past, from childhood, that trauma interferes with their development, but it also shows up in the couple relationship. And if the couple can't resolve these old traumas and each individual move forward in their development, then the couple relationship gets blocked. And if the couple relationship gets blocked because of unresolved trauma, then when they have a child, that same block is going to prevent the family from becoming healthy and having functional behaviors. And from the family then, with all these kind of unresolved issues, codependency and counterdependency and developmental trauma and this kind of struggle, then people take it from the family to the workplace, the kids take it to school, it gets out into the church and into the community, and so it feeds this field of energy that's part of, you know, our communal life. And if it's not resolved within the community, then it goes into the region and into the, you know, the country itself. And if it's not resolved then at a national level, then what we get is wars between cultures where the people are really fighting about issues that are related to very early trauma. And it's been very interesting to study this phenomenon working with some of the countries of the former Soviet Union. We've been very involved in work in Ukraine, and we can see how the totalitarian system of the government has affected the family structure, but also how the family structure has helped influence the style of government that people have had. So we began to see that working on these really seemingly, you know, kind of personal and very small conflicts can have a huge impact in the world.
Well, maybe you need to send copies of your book to every, you know, nation in the world, and some to the UN. They can pass out, and maybe they can use it as a tool to create some healing, not only within their own personal relationships, but maybe with some of the relationships we have with other countries on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I think this country probably needs the book more than any other, because as we've traveled around the world and you know, lived in places, you know, in different parts of Europe and even in Central America, what we find is that Americans are some of the most aggressive people on the planet, and we tend to, like, make it look like somebody else is being, you know, aggressive, but it's really a projection of our own aggression, I think, of our own unhealed trauma, both, you know, individually and collectively as a culture.
Yeah. The opposite of a dominator, or, I mean, of a partnership relationship is a dominator relationship. Well, we have characterized that and actually exported that domination to the rest of the world, and people actually hate us because of that. So, I mean, we need to begin to look, and I think our new president understands this, and he's the speech he gave in Egypt the other day was one that certainly reflected more of a partnership way of dealing with the problems in the world than a domination. And in fact, some of his critics then criticized him for that. They want him to be more dominating and show those people who's boss, you know. So it's really a whole cultural thing that has to shift. And fortunately, we may have some leadership now at the top of this country to help that shift happen.
Well, let's all cross our fingers that something's going to happen, because where we're going doesn't seem... I just see conflict in our future.
Okay. Yes, it certainly doesn't seem as if we've learned a lot on how to resolve conflict, and we have a lot to learn. Your suggestion that we give this book to all the leaders in the world would be a great one if they'd read it, but they won't even read it. They're so invested in their own.
Send a human to book on tape. No.
Maybe. But, I mean, people are so invested in being right. And that's, if you're right, why do you need to learn anything new? You know?
So why do you need to change?
Yeah. So it really is a huge kind of consciousness issue that we have to work on.
Well, but if you are in one of those positions, the belief is that if you create a partnership, you're losing power, but you're not losing anything. You're gaining.
That's right. Right.
And we think I don't think there's that belief.
That's right. Well, we think that the world changes a person at a time, a family, a couple at a time, and a family at a time. So that's where we've done a lot of work.
Well, there's the music, which means we have to go. Thank you again for coming on and sharing all of your vast wisdom with the listeners.
Thank you, Tia.
I'm assuming your book is on Amazon and your website and bookstore.
Yes, right.
Okay, thanks, guys. Marion Janae Weinhold,
Just Energy Radio with your host, Dr. Rita Louise, will return right after these messages. Are you getting your greens? Now you can have your greens and drink them too with Innerfood by Inner Health Botanicals. Innerfood promotes health and boosts energy with nature's finest superfoods. Innerfood is 70% organic and 100% natural without fillers and is a whole food product totally assimilated by the body. Innerfood is spirulina, chlorella, dulse, kelp, spinach, alfalfa, barley, wheatgrass, rosehip, beetroot, and much more in real amounts, not just a sprinkle to fill out an inflated but impotent list of ingredients. Just mix a tablespoon in your protein shake or in your favorite fruit juice and you are good to go and go and go. Other greens on the shelf typically weigh 300 grams and sell for between $35 and $70. Innerfood is a full 400 grams, 33% more, for $39.95 plus shipping. Simply go to our website, innerstreamsradio.com, and click on any InnerHealth Botanical banner and you're ready to order. Or call 866-762-9238 and be sure to mention you heard them on InnerStreams Radio. Innerfood, building health from the inside out. 70 million Americans suffer from sleep deficit. I'm James Afayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, and I'd like to tell you about Earth Pulse Magnetic Field Supplementation. While using the Earth Pulse device, I found that I drifted off to sleep faster, I slept deeper, and I woke up more refreshed, and it does much, much more. Call them right now at 888-211-7888 or check out their website at www.earthpulse.net. But wait, there's more. When you buy a new digitally programmed Earth Pulse version 4 magnetic supplementation device and use the special InnerStreams Radio coupon code ISR, you'll receive an instant $50 savings. No rebates to get lost in the mail. Just $50 more in your pocket on your way to better health. 888-211-7888 or check out their website at earthpulse.net and use the special InnerStreams Radio coupon code ISR. Earth Pulse. Deeper, more restful sleep, or your money back. The Berkey water system is more than a water filter. It's a natural purification system that yields 99.99% pure toxin and biopathogen-free water from any water source without electricity. Many supermarket paper and charcoal filters catch, for a while anyway, some impurities that make water taste bad. The Berkey ceramic hard rock filters with their zillions of little micro holes go much further and trap everything from parasites to bacteria to chemical toxins and molecular-sized contaminants, even fluoride and arsenic. Trace elements and minerals necessary for life are filtered out by most reverse osmosis systems. The Berkey systems allow these through to nourish and energize you, your family, your pets, and the plants under your care. What about lugging bottled water home every week? The Berkey pure water systems are many times more pure than the so-called spring water, and the cost-convenience factor will amaze you. With simple, regular cleanings, your Berkey system can last up to 6,000 gallons between filter replacements. That means pure water at your fingertips for under 2 cents a gallon. Our friends at InnerHealth Botanicals are committed to providing natural, safe, and effective supplements and supplies to help you be your healthiest. Just go to InnerStreamsRadio.com and click on the Berkey Water.